Spoilers.
Anime. Anime.
You're the worst. We need to do a warning, and you never do it.
Nope. Spoilers.
Offensive content. Offensive content. We swear all the fucking time. How many times do I talk about my cock on an average fucking audio file?
Way too many.
Yep. We're going to spoil everything, and I'm going to talk about my cock. This is Cars Name Anime Rainfall 2012 Anime Look Week 2, Part 4.
Already?
Yeah. Next up on the docket, Episode 2 of Magic Kaito 1412. Magic Kaito 1412, where he finds out his dad is mixed up and shit, becomes a magician. Well, already was one. Put on a tuxedo mask-ish disguise. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not expecting much out of this.
We have it seated at number 15.
Yep, and that's probably where it belongs. Let's dive right in to the magical world of Magic Kaito 1412, Episode 2.
Meanwhile, in the future.
Alright, so that was Episode 2 of Magic Kaito 1412. In this episode, Kaito learns that there are consequences to his double life when he learns that Aoko's father, the inspector who's been chasing him, has kind of been having some sleepless nights and a bit of stress and whatnot. He feels bad about it, and he sees that it's affecting Aoko, but he's got to flush out his dad's killer, which he almost sort of does when people working for that killer, at the very least, seem to gun him down. But in truth, it was a ploy, so we could find their immediate leader and basically set them up to take the fall from the police, and still making his promise in time to get Aoko a present.
You forgot the fact they actually found out why now. They're looking for the gems.
Yeah, they're looking for a jewel that will grant eternal youth. So the Heihachi gem is what I like to call it. What'd you think of this one, Dave?
I liked it. I mean, I love the fact that they do show that there are consequences without making it really cornball. It's a serious thing, and it's affecting them.
I like this one a lot better than the first episode, I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah.
I liked the bit more gravitas to what he's doing. I liked that his relationship with Aoko was fleshed out a bit more. This just makes me want them to get serious about it even more now, because now we see the deep connection that they have, and I really like that. I hope they don't have every episode just be him doing random nice things for her and her being delighted by them, because, again, I want to see the consequences to his actions. I want to see the whole Spider-Man Mary Jane thing happen with them. And I'm afraid it's not going to. And yeah, I'm not going to judge the show for future transgressions. This episode was good. Much better than the first. But I still worry.
Well, yeah, that's fair. How would you rate this one?
7.58 out of 3 pi.
Okay, so this ends up with a 7.54 overall.
Oh, you're going to give it 7.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I should explain why I didn't go higher. There was a bit of dialogue heaviness with them explaining Pandora's gem and whatnot. I mean, they could have cut that down a bit, and the setup was very obvious, and Kaito kind of always being in the right place in the right time. Like, I hope it's not like Kaito Joker, where he's always got the upper hand, right? But I mean, yeah, I like this episode a lot more than the first, and I would give this a green.
Very much a green.
Next up, we have the supremely hot night girl Eleanor in Nadana Oto Vanitas. Which was like the Master Bowman in Vanitas, where we get to see if Tigre does manage to get past Eleanor, who's blocking his path. Will she be just as hot in this episode? All signs point to my boner.
Here we go.
Meanwhile, in the future. Okay, this is episode 2 of Master Bowman and Vanitas. In this episode, Tigre realizes that he's not going to be able to best Eleanor. Well, she calls herself Ellen, too.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to best her, so he does the next best wise thing to do. He blatantly just asks for help to go back and defend his home. She agrees, the payment being that his territory will become hers. Deal, no other choice right now.
Though it caught her by surprise.
Caught her by surprise because she was expecting, perhaps a bit more bargaining instead of him just being like, okay, I'll just put myself at your mercy. Which no doubt turned her on. And that outfit was great for belly button licking. Now, back to belly button licking. Meanwhile, evil forces have their eye on Tigray's territory, and the young heir to that king, whose name I forget, has a fucking dragon with him and 3,000 troops to go take it over.
Not take over, destroy.
To destroy it. The townsfolk either hole up in the temple or evacuate the town, while Tita very foolishly stays in Tita's... Tigray's maid stays there and protects his black bow, nearly gets raped by that young prince guy, and then gets saved at the last second by Tigray. Zion? I think it was Zion.
Yeah.
And then gets saved at the last second by Tigray and Ellen. We then have...
we get further proof that he is better than Hawkeye.
Jesus Christ. And then he takes up the black bow, which appears to be some kind of super raid boss drop bow, and the episode ends there with him and his troops numbering at 1,000, the enemy troops at 3,000, and a dragon who will succeed to be continued. Two dragons, right. To be continued. Second episode, but yeah, pretty good. Pretty much like the first. Obvious fan service, of course. Poor little Tita had to have her panties and bra shown because, of course. And
fan service / rape.
Yep. Ellen remains super hot. Tigray remains super Hawkeye.
I think they're both Eleanor and her sidekick there.
I don't remember her name either.
I think their respect for him is increasing more and more because he's doing things that they don't expect him to do. Like, Eleanor thought that she was going to, that he was going to challenge her to an archery contest. And the other one thought that... Actually, what did she think?
I forget. She bet something else. And they both lost when he just took...
Oh, that he would ask to become her subordinate instead.
Sure. And instead he just outright asked for help because he's pure-hearted, straightforward young man. And, yeah, this was a good episode. Obvious fan service aside, I like the little bits of humor. I like them trying to comb his hair and then it just goes back to its natural state almost right away. I like the fact that despite not having superpowers, Tigray is so badass. And the only reason he's less badass than the Vanadises is because he's just a normal dude. Like, yeah, it's unlucky. If it was anyone else charging him on that horse in the first episode, they'd be dead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, I don't know how long it will be before he has a defense, because no doubt they're going to fight a Vanadis who's not on their side.
What I'm wondering is, I mean, okay, so she's a Vanadis. We've gotten a little bit of an idea of her being a war maid and everything else, but they revealed in this one that, I mean, her sword allows her to control the wind.
Yeah, so she's guile, basically.
But what does she have without the sword? That's what I'm wondering.
My understanding is that they got their powers from some dragon, which must mean some level of superhuman ability.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see that because...
Like, they wear...
That's how she blocked his arrow to stop it from killing her.
She pretty much wears no armor wades into battle anyway. And I don't think it's just a whole female armor thing. I think she doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. It's probably a hindrance.
I do think that it's obvious she has the hots for him. She admits it openly.
Oh, yeah, Christ.
And
this is where the harem tag comes from. The show has the harem tag, and it's going to be purely because every woman wants to fuck Tigray. And I don't blame them.
I'm actually okay with this so far.
I don't blame them. I kind of want to fuck Tigray. He's really turning me the fuck on.
Like, this is just a fun show. It really is.
It's got the funny moments and the badass moments combined to make it pretty fun. I like it. Who rated the last one first?
You did.
Did I?
Yes.
I did. I give this a super solid 8.78.
I was going to go 8.5, but that's good.
Yes. That means 8.64.
Thank you. What's with you and the weird numbers today?
Dave, 3-pi rating system.
True.
And obviously this is a red, because come on now.
Oh, yeah. You're just so fucking
get weird. This shit out of my face. I want to lick Eleanor's belly button so bad.
You know, I'll give you that one.
So here, yeah. And don't tell me you find that gross, because if you knew it was her kink and it turned her on, you would drive that tongue in there so fast. Oh, Jesus Christ, I just turned myself on right now. Can we take, like,
No.
I'm going to stop that right now.
Thank you. Shut up.
Speaking of belly buttons and licking, the difference between Tigray and Meliodas is that Tigray would probably ask before driving his tongue into a belly button. Meliodas
and be
might
be embarrassed.
Meliodas might not ask.
Next one is Nanatsu no Taizai,
otherwise known as
Seed 14,
otherwise known as Seven Deadly Sins.
Now that I think about it, we never mentioned what Seed Vanadis was.
Remember in the freaking week one retrospective, you said I didn't mention the 13th seed. I listened to the recording. I did. You were full of shit.
You thought you were wrong.
Yeah, I know. Vanadis was seed 7, and Nanatsu no Taizai, otherwise known as Seven Deadly Sins, is at the position of 7 times 2. 7 Deadly Sins!
Uh-huh.
It's a multiple of 7. How much of a coincidence is that?
Meanwhile, in the future...
7 Deadly Sins, Nanatsu no Taizai, Episode 2. Meliodas and Elizabeth come across a town that's being harassed by a holy knight whose lightning sword is keeping the water from flowing and not letting them make their famous ale. While listening to Mead's story, Meliodas decides to help the town by pulling the sword out of the fucking ground with his Superman strength and returning the town's water. While celebrating at the bar, the holy knight who did that grabbed one of his soldier's spears and did some kind of Superman lightning javelin throw 7-point-something miles
7.3.
To try to nuke the town with the lightning spear. Meliodas, while at the same time having a casual conversation with Elizabeth about her troubles, notices this coming, grabs it with his bare hand, it still pushes him and tears through a few houses, then hucks it back, and it misses the Holy Knight by like a fucking inch. And only because the Holy Knight turned his head to the side. Otherwise, he'd be dead-ass dead.
Let's not forget the fact that he fucked up and tore down their fucking tower.
Yes. Elizabeth learns that there's this forest where one of the sins may be at, and then they depart for that forest. Dave, what did you think of Episode 2 of Nanatsu no Taizai?
Not much happened.
Not much happened, but...
On the other hand, I was
pretty entertained by it. I gotta be honest with you. Like,
yeah,
not much happened, but yet a lot happened.
Yeah, that's the thing, is...
Meliodas is a giant fucking pervert.
Yes, he is.
I can't lie to myself. I find his antics in a very disturbing, rapey way amusing. I am the worst feminist. I am the worst feminist.
You're an honest...
It's very obvious he and Elizabeth have a thing for each other, even though he's a giant fucking pervert.
Yep.
This show is about humorous moments and fan service moments, mostly due to Elizabeth and her being kind of oblivious to the fact that she's a giant walking pile of fan service. And moments where Meliodas just fucks shit up.
And those are amusing. I mean, I wanted him to... But I wanted him to punch the two guards that were laughing about the tax increase.
You to take their ale.
On the other hand, it would have been, even just from the two episodes we've seen, it would have been out of character for him.
It would have been. Also, he's super strong, and that one punch might splatter their intestines.
Yeah.
Like obviously, Meliodas, who looked different in the past, according to the poster, is obviously some kind of superhuman.
I think they all are kind of superhuman. I mean, it seems like the one they're about to find can become a giantess.
I think she is a giantess. I think that's the plan, that she's always that size.
Maybe.
Anywho, I'd be lying to myself if I said I wasn't entertained by the show. I was wary at first, and now I think I'm all in for reasons good and bad.
How do you rate it, though?
I'm going to give this... a very strong 8.51.
Wow.
I really like this episode, I gotta be honest with you. And I would be lying to myself if I said otherwise. There's a little piece of my conscience saying, don't do it, this isn't quite what you think, but fuck my conscience. What has it ever done for me?
Huh.
Why, what are you giving it?
7.5.
So that leaves us at 8.005, which rounds up to 8.01.
Sorry, yours was 8.51.
Is this a green?
This is still a green.
You were not as amused by it as I was, clearly.
I just don't want to see it fall into the same thing every episode. I think that's the big thing right now.
Yeah, I hate episodes that establish a status quo and just stick to it. That's the same fear I have for Magic Kaito. That's why I want the next episode for them to fucking kiss and fucking, like, be an item, and not just do the stupid anime thing of skirting around each other's feelings. I fucking want Elizabeth and Meliodas to do that in the next episode, too. I hate shows, it's not just Japan, but fuck, we're doing the anime raves, so it's the one I'm noticing, where two people obviously want to fuck, and it just doesn't happen forever and ever because that strings us on to watch. It doesn't entice me to watch anymore. It just pisses me off. And I just kind of want them to drop these stupid pretenses that we're still seeing in 20 fucking 14.
I call it the Keitaro factor.
Keitaro.
Lavina.
Lavina. Yeah. I don't really see why you're insulting Nanatsu no Taizai like that. Like, that's just...
Well, no. It's the two obviously want to get it on. They both know they have feelings for each other, but let's do another 10 volumes of something, just dragging it on.
It's not just even sex. It's more like, you know, let's...
Feelings. Admitting.
Yeah, let's admit some feelings, yeah. And let's try to make it work, because... What Japan doesn't, and this isn't all anime, some animes have the balls to show characters in a relationship and to show that sometimes a relationship is difficult. It's not like you fall in love with someone and then it just stays that way. Smart shows will show that it doesn't always. It's entirely possible that all these young couples falling in love in anime because they're the chosen ones and have sexual tension may in 5 years discover that, that was fun and all, but maybe I'm not in love with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just infuriating to watch. It is. But, fuck.
So, yeah, that's a green. Of the ones we've watched so far, we've already got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 greens.
Yeah, so let's just give all the rest a red and just move on from there.
No, we have... No!
We have about 6 more shows to go.
Yeah.
And we will continue them next time. Folks! You should go to CarlosAndDaveAnimeRave.com and you should watch our shit and listen to our shit and leave us a fucking voicemail that we can answer probably on our podcast, Two Fat Guys Talk, but maybe if it's anime related and pertinent to one of these, we'll answer it in one of these episodes. Who knows?
Yeah.
Dave, parting thoughts on how hot Elizabeth is, because she is smoking hot.
Fucking hot.
And I feel terrible for saying that.
Nope.
I don't know how much I blame Meliodas for just taking a peek under that tiny skirt. I'm the worst feminist. I should just turn in all my cards.
Well, you've already turned in your man card, so...
You're the worst.